first day that you went to look at that book, where did you report very first thing?
Well, see, when you first go in, to begin with, you're issued a badge. Everybody. Even in training, I had my badge. You can't get in without it. And so you go through the tunnel, and go through the gates. And if you have a lunchbox, you have to open it so they can see what you got in your lunchbox. And then that guy lets you through the gate like you do if you went to a racetrack, you know. And then you go in and you report to your particular spot where you're going to work, you know. You go there. And then they have, to begin with, then they assign you. But the first day, nobody did anything but walk around and look.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody accomplished anything. I don't suppose we really accomplished much of anything for several days. It's like going to school. Your first couple, 3 days, you're there, but you don't do much.
So you went directly to your department rather than the front office?
To begin with, my building was Building 11, the first building. And after that, I was, later on, when I was inspecting, I was in Building 2. And I did a lot of different inspection in Building 2.
Had you already purchased your tools before the first day of work?
No, that's what you do the first day or couple days. They give you a list of what you have to have, and they get also a list of what is there that you work with that belongs to the company, and then they give you a list of things you have to buy, or if you have them at home, bring whatever they are at home, you know. And everybody's, they have a list, and I have a list, and you have a locker. Everybody had a locker that they can lock their stuff in later on, and nobody's supposed to get into that locker but you. We had to have, of course, you didn't have to carry your lunch because they had a wonderful cafeteria. But when you're on it working on a shoestring, well, you carry your lunch in a paper bag. Then eventually I got a lunch pail. But those are just things that you come along as whatever the job would be, you know. I would go to the cafeteria occasionally, but you only have... I don't think we had an hour. We might have had an hour for lunch, I don't remember, but sometimes if it was pressing, you'd only have maybe half hour. And to go to a cafeteria, even an hour, go through a long line like that, you know, you're gulping. So I'd better carry my lunch and sit down somewhere.
How did you feel when you first walked into the building?
Odd, very odd. It is so huge. Well, you can imagine how big it would be to have that big airplane, you know. Fluorescent lights. The place is just like daylight in there, you know. But really, it takes you several hours almost to quit looking. I was very odd because I'd never been inside anything like that. Didn't see how anything was there. And the noise was absolutely terrible. I wore earplugs a lot of times because I have very sensitive ears anyway. And there were times that the noise was just... And when it got so bad, you really had to lay your tools down and walk outside.
Do you remember what the building looked like? How it was laid out at all?
Well, it was one huge, huge building. And they had various sections of the plane. Now, the wing section, they did most of the wings, and they were more or less than that. Then they'd have the tail section, or they'd have the motor section. These are the framework. We were just working with framework. Later on, After I was inspecting engines and inspecting anything.
What was the reaction of the men?
Terrible.
To you as you came in?
Terrible. Men resented the women very much. And it took a while for some men to realize you had the ability to do what you were doing. When they realized that, then they slowed down. And some of the characters they had working there was just something else. I remember this one man, and I forgot what it was, his kind of line of work was. That was when I was in inspection. He was working on motors. And when we'd sit down or go outside to rest, we'd get to talking, you know. Well, he lived over here in Compton, and he had a sideline. He was a preacher in some little, I don't know what kind of church it was. But he said, boy, that's where you make your money. Now, that was his profession. When they take up the collection, you know, they don't have much overhead. They just had a little place, you know. And he said, that's where you make the money. There's money in it, he said. He told me I was foolish to be out there doing that. I don't give him the... I said, I'm too religious for that. I mean, I can see cheating like that. That's terrible. But that was the truth. And he told me where the church was, and I went by the place, and it wasn't much bigger than this house. But I guess they had the gangs of people that came in, and then they'd put out this little spiel for, you know, they had to have money for this, and the money just rolled in. People didn't know what else to do with their money when they were making so much at wartime, you know. Because I came from the sublime, I mean, from the, not the, the ridiculous to the sublime, I guess, because we went through the Depression in the 30s, you know, early 30s. Then we came out here in the early 40s, and then we were in debt when we came out here. Came out here, and I think between my husband and I, within a year, we were out of debt. But I never squandered my money either. If there was out in the parking lot, if it was lunchtime usually be lunchtime, or maybe you would have a 15-minute break or something, there'd be a lineup. And whatever that line was, you went and got in. If you didn't know what you were going to get. I remember one time we got nylon stockings. But these would be cigarettes. Mostly it was cigarettes, and we all wanted to get in line and get cigarettes, because cigarettes were hard to get. And so that one time that we got the nylon, that was the funniest one, too. But whatever the line, if they were, and you know what? Sometimes the bell would ring to go back to work, and people hadn't got up to the, but then come back out later, maybe there'd be another one. So you go get another line. But I had it very, very good. There was a little grocery store over near where we were, and the lady that run the cash register, you know how some you meet people and you either clash or you blend somewhere. Well, she and I got along beautifully. I liked her and she liked me. And so many things were rations, you know. Gas was rationed. All your food, we had to have food stamps. And say like coffee and oleo and flour, sugar. All these things were rationed. And when I'd go into the grocery store, I'd probably go in maybe once a week. I didn't go in every day or two, but I'd go in probably once a week. And the day I went in, whatever they would get in a good supply of, when my grocery sack went through over the counter, she'd reach down and have another sack, and I'd go over the counter. I mean, I'd get home, I'd have three or four things on my bill that wasn't said out loud. See? I'd get home, I'd have a carton of cigarettes for myself and a carton of cigarettes for my husband. I would smoke Camels, and they used to say, you'll walk a mile with a Camel. Well, my husband smoked Pall Malls. So there'd be a carton of each in the sack. There might have been a couple pounds of oleo. Or there might have been 5 pounds of sugar. You know, I never knew what I was going to have. But the people that didn't work didn't get the privilege like that, see. But she was awfully sweet. She was a lot younger woman than I am. You know, she died about 12, 15 years ago of cancer. I had cancer and came out of it. I'm so off the track.
It's okay. What you're when you went into work in your department, were you the only new woman, or did you go?
Oh no, there was the whole class, the 40-50 class. They'd be but they were scattered around that my class was, but I had, there was at least four, maybe five of us that was in the class together. And I had it was my husband's cousin's granddaughter. She went to work out that same time, and she was one of these young, beautiful ones. You know. She didn't rivet either. She got a job of inspection right off the bat. Young and beautiful, see. No lady don't get anything like that. But she wasn't in my area, but we'd get together quite frequently. And then there were two girls that I went into training with, that I worked with, and one of them, her name was Mildred Adams. Mildred. And then there was another one, the one I showed you the picture of.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name? Anyhow, there was some others that went in training together, that worked together, too. And we stayed together quite all the while I got there. You pick up good friends, you know. And this one girl over here, Liz, she was a worker. I mean, I don't remember just what she did. Something was wiring, and she didn't remember what she did. And there was another girl named Georgie. Her brother had quite a concession down on the pipe. She worked down there an awful lot. And Georgie and this other girl were very good friends, too. You keep in contact with, I kept in contact for, oh, I don't know how long. But I remember there was one lady that, she was one of the ones that carpool, and she'd dive. Her name was Iva Shambo. Her husband never worked. He played the market. I mean, the market.
Stock market.
And he made good money playing the stock market. Insofar as I know, they are still living. I talked to her on the phone one time. Oh, I don't know how long ago, but she was older than I quite a bit. Very tall, very nice looking lady. And she worked out there, but she did some kind of office work. But we'd always meet, you know, to go to our car. Remember one night, it was raining. Oh, it was raining. And I parked, and I was tormented about that for I don't know how long. I parked near a van. It was a big van right there. And, of course, you go to work at midnight, you know. And you're off at 7:30, 4 days in the morning. Well, the next morning, I couldn't find my car. I did find my car. So they have these guards go back and forth. And so he came along, and as I said, it was raining. And he took me in his little car, and we went up one aisle and down the other, but we found my car at the door in the van there. I couldn't find the car. Moral of that story is don't park near something and say that's where you park. That was the only time I ever lost my car, though.
How do you feel about the attitude of the men?
Eventually, you got over it, you know. And the men that you worked with, after a while, they realized that it was essential that the women worked there because there wasn't enough men, and the women were doing a pretty good job. So after so long a time, well, the resentment, you could see it. Well, however, I always felt that they felt that was you weren't your place to be there. But somebody had to do it.
Was that also the attitude of the lead man and the foreman and the supervisor and personnel?
Absolutely. You never felt at ease with them. The only man that I really felt at ease with, that I worked with, was this one, I'll tell his name is Bill. And I think his last name was Williams, but I can't be sure. But he, his wife was a school teacher. And he didn't have that, he didn't have that attitude. But in the beginning, it was a little bit rough. You had to hold your head high and bat your eyes out, you know. And you learned to swear like they did. However, I made myself stop it because I don't quite think it's too ladylike. We had some Mexicans too, but I know we had this one little Mexican girl. She was kind of heavy set. I can't recall what it was she did around our wing, but she was there, and she'd always bring me this hot food stuff to eat, you know. And one day, she had a lot of them, I said, I don't know what her name was now, and I said, I see those things on, but I wondered, and she said, well, tomorrow I'll bring you one. She did, and she must have extra loaded it with hot stuff, because I took one bite, and I liked it, couldn't get my breath. Oh, what she did. She'd just tickle her to death.
Were there very many Mexican men around where you
were? Oh, there were two around where I was, Mexican women, but other than that, I didn't.
What about black women?
You know, but I can't recall ever seeing a black woman. There were some black men. But area where I was, I don't recall seeing a black woman. They were there because I would see them going through the tunnel. But what they did, I don't know. You know, you go out there that hour of the night, you're pretty... To sleep daytimes, I didn't sleep well. I'd sleep 15 minutes and wake up and think I'd been asleep for hours. I didn't sleep well. Then I got on days. When I got on days, it was much better.
How long before you got on days?
Oh, I must have been there almost a year and a half or more before I got on days. But the days was much better.
Did you request that change?
Yes, I did for one reason. See, I went on nights on purpose because I had a teenage daughter. I couldn't let her run the streets, you know. But after a year and a half of that out there, I had to consider my own health just a little bit. So my hours were so that I would get home within a half hour of the time she's supposed to be home from school. And so it wasn't too bad. And, of course, she had her cousins lived close around there. She wasn't just alone all the time, you know. But I think she was 13, maybe. I think she was 13 when we came out here. And you just don't let a young teenager, you know. So and, of course, my husband, well, he worked nights, too. And... No, he didn't. I got the night job. And he worked days, so there was nobody, see. And then, of course, when he'd get home, it'd be quite a lot later than what I would get home, because he worked down the shipyard. But after a while, it worked out all right. So my day hours, I'd go to work at... I think it was 7 in the morning when you were off, you were home by 4:30 or something.
I'd like to go back again to the first day that you were there and ask you if they showed you, if they demonstrated your job.
Oh, yeah, we watched.
Kind of training.
No, we watched the ones that were doing it. we watched the ones that were doing it. And then you think, when you got to where you could do it, we practiced on something that didn't matter because you couldn't foul up the wing. But we would practice on something that, until we got the hang of what we were doing. It don't take too long. You're going to drill a hole, you're going to drill a hole. But you have to learn to know what size bit to use for the various holes. Those things you have to know, you know. And it don't take too long to learn that either, because they give you the size what you have to have. You have to go check out a lot of stuff at back at the store stock room or whatever it is, you know. Because if there'd be something that you needed to work with, if they were to say, you'd have to go back and check it out, and then you're responsible for it because you check it back. Otherwise, you have to pay for it if it comes up missing. You know. So you learn to watch them pretty close.
Is there ever a problem with people taking the tools?
Yes, there's an awful lot of that. A terrible lot of that. And I think the personnel learn to know who's trustworthy and who aren't, because I never was questioned. Never was questioned. But two others were, and things were found in their possession. Well, they just had forgot to return it, you know, but that wasn't always the case. But that was another thing. You had to be basically honest. A lot of people weren't, you'd be surprised. But if, like, I know different ones would check out an article and they'd keep it, you know, keep it, and then they'd never check it back, take it back. Well, then they'd get called to pay for it. Well, they didn't have it. They couldn't prove they didn't have it. They couldn't prove they had it. But they're supposed to have to pay for it. But whether they did or not, I don't know, because I never checked out anything I didn't return. You don't keep up on what everybody else is doing, you know. Every so often, though, they would, we would go around and watch what other people were doing.
Other departments close to you?
Oh, there were departments all around us, huh? And you could go. And there was only one department that I visited, a couple of us visited, and that was all men in that one. And it was very heavy, heavy work. And boy, they let us know they didn't care for us being in there. So we didn't sit. Some of them are like that, you know. But normally, why you just go in, they don't pay mind to you. But some of them don't resent you being around at all. But other than that, we don't. And you weren't restricted that you couldn't go to the other department. The only place you were restricted was something highly... They didn't want people to know too much about it or something, but... Most of us knew pretty much all about there. There wasn't no secretive work out there that I know of. If there was, I didn't know about it, which I'm glad I didn't.
How do you feel after your first day there?
I was anxious to go back and get it going right. Once in a while, when you have to, if you buck a rivet and it bucks crooked, you have to take it out. Now it makes a bigger hole. So now you have to have a bigger rivet. And that's where somebody comes along with their inspections. They don't know what they're doing. Well, they just, I have seen some of those inspectors pass up two or three different times. I remember we deliberately left some that we knew we were going to, when she got out of there, we knew we were going to replace them. She never even checked them. Didn't. That's how much they knew, see. But some rivets were harder to buck than others, and if you don't get that bucking instrument set just right, it'll go crooked, you know. But I remember that we did that several times to see what would happen.
The work make you tired at all?
No, I can't recall that I got Yeah, you get tired. You get awfully tired. That shaking, you know, that and but you recuperate when I wasn't that old then, you know. But worst thing really was your shoes. You know, you could. It was awfully hard to get comfortable shoes. I went down to Buffum's and got Girl Scout shoes. Girl Scout Oxford. Now they were leather. I don't think they even make them anymore. I think all they have is tennis shoes nowadays. But I never could wear tennis shoes.
What kinds of clothes were you supposed to wear?
You were supposed to wear, of course we had to wear slacks. You couldn't wear a dress, and if you worked in offices and stuff like that, you could wear dresses. But in our area, you wore slacks and blouses and whatever your choice was. You didn't have uniforms or anything like that. You just wore whatever was comfortable, you know. And we were all of us supposed to take off our rings. Nobody was supposed to wear a ring. No jewelry. Well, my wedding ring had never been off my hand. So to start with, we all took our wedding rings off and pinned them in our pockets or something, you know. But after you're there a while, the wedding rings goes back on again. And if you got hurt with that, your insurance might not have been so good, I don't know, because that's in your claims, you're not supposed to wear any jewelry. But after you're there a while, of course, if anything around your neck and all, you'd be very foolish to wear something around your neck, you know.
What about your hair?
We had to wear our hair, we wore bandanas. You had to wear bandanas, you know, because of the aluminum dust flying through the air, you know. We'd wear some kind of a bandana, some kind of a thing on your head. I don't know what you call the different ones. We had different kinds of things we wear.
Had you worn pants much before that?
Uh-uh. No. I never had worn pants.
What was that like for you?
Very odd. Very odd. Then after you get used to them, you don't want to go back to dresses, you know. Of course, on the weekends, we have to go back to our dresses because nobody wore slacks in those days like they do today. But after you get used to it, you don't mind it at all. Main thing is find something comfortable.
Did you look much overtime?
Not too much because the night shift didn't work much overtime. And that was one of the things when I went in. I didn't want it because of, I worked several times. I don't remember how many or much, but you'd have to work, say, Saturday. You wouldn't work longer hours. But you'd work another day. And sometimes you'd work Saturday and Sunday. Now, I've done that, but I resented it very much because that's too hard. But a lot of people work an awful lot of overtime, but I really didn't because I felt my duty was home with my child, you know.
Did you